Hello, and welcome to the Book Smarts podcast, where we talk about publishing data and technologies and send you away with some insights that will help you sell more books. I'm your host, Joshua Talent. This week on the Book Smarts podcast, I'm very happy to have Andy Hunter, who is the founder and CEO of Bookshop.org, joining me. In addition to being the founder and CEO of Bookshop, he's also the co-founder and the publisher of Catapult Press, the co-creator and the publisher of the websites Literary Hub, Crime Reads, and Bookmarks, and the co-founder and chairman of Electric Literature. So needless to say, Andy is a very busy person. So Andy also received the Industry Innovator Award from BISG at our annual meeting last month. And for many of you who may not know Bookshop.org, it's a book-selling platform with a mission to financially support independent bookstores. It's a B Corp, which is a corporation that puts their mission and the public good above their financial interests. So, Andy, thanks a lot for joining me this week.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about publishing, a little bit about book selling. I really think it's interesting that you made that leap from publishing into book selling. And granted, you're still a publisher, but you have made that leap to a bookseller, not just for yourself, but for everyone else, for other publishers as well. So tell me a little bit about the reason why you decided to start Bookshop. What was the impetus? How has that experience been for you, changing from being a publisher to now being a publisher and a bookseller?
Yeah, well, the reason was just concern about the future of the industry. I always am trying to think about what's going to happen in the future, and with an eye towards preserving the things that I value. And in this case, literary culture and the culture around books and the effect and importance books have in our society. And over the past, since about 2009, I've been a little worried about Amazon kind of eating the world, and is particularly eating the book world. And even back in 2011, 2012, I had a few meetings with the idea of creating a nonprofit online bookseller that would benefit independent presses and independent bookstores to kind of offset Amazon's growing dominance of the online bookselling industry. And then there wasn't any appetite then. People didn't understand the need for it. I had a few people who were in charge of grants of various foundations express a lack of interest in funding something like that. Maybe it was too commercial, too involved in commerce in general. But that was back when Amazon was maybe 15-20% of the bookselling world. And now it's over 50%, possibly 60% after the pandemic. I just watched as nobody did anything about it. I just watched as bookstores' margins got smaller. I watched as the physical bookselling retail went from about $18 billion a year in the US to about $10 billion. And I watched as Amazon became more and more important to publishers. And eventually, I just became clear that nobody was going to try to do anything about it. There was no meaningful competition, and there was no innovation happening that would particularly help shore up independent local brick and mortar bookstores against Amazon and help them retain their audience when it came to e-commerce, which I think is really important. Like it's really hard to imagine a future where a small business cannot engage in e-commerce at all and still thrive, particularly when in retail, where e-commerce is growing by like sometimes 11-13% year over year as a portion of total retail. So I just wanted somebody to do something. Nobody was doing anything. So I figured, well, I'll take a shot, which was kind of ridiculous. I felt very unqualified. And like there were a lot of people who were smarter than me with better skills than me who could be taking it on. But in the end, I just was like, well, you lose every shot that you don't take. So I might as well try to do something. So that's what really caused me to do it, is just feeling like, if nobody does anything, we're going to end up with a landscape that's missing bookstores in most of the places in the country. Strong bookstores would survive, bookstores that have the resources to do e-commerce well and have websites and, you know, are good digital marketers, good at creating mailing lists and social media and keep their customers engaged. Those stores will do fine. There's maybe 200, 250 stores like that. The rest of the stores might be living on borrowed time. Amazon's growing at 68% year over year. So that puts them at 80% of the market at the end of 2025, if nothing happens to change the trends. So, yeah, and, you know, I've talked about it a lot, but simply put, bookstores are really important for discovery. They're really important for growing careers of new writers. They're really important for a diverse ecosystem around books. They're really important for keeping books important in their communities, for introducing children to love of reading, to connect authors with readers. They're essential to the culture around books. And I think a lot of people and organizations in the industry are like really not being as alarmed as they should be about the idea of those resources going away. Every single one of them is an advocate for the importance of books in our culture. And if we let them just be disrupted and become like just a nostalgic thing of the past, except for like some big urban stores, then we're going to lose a lot more than 2,000 bookstores. We're going to lose a lot of advocacy, constant advocacy and discovery for books. So yeah, I'm going to try not to preach too much in this podcast, but that's why I started Bookshop, and you know, it just seemed like a worthwhile thing to do, you know. And I guess the other thing I'll mention is that as an online publisher, LitHub and Electric Lit, I had a lot of pressure to earn revenue. I wanted to make revenue any way I could, but a lot of revenue from online publishing comes from affiliate links. On average, 20% of the budget of any online media, whether it's Condé Nast or Meredith or Hearst or what have you, but 20% of their budgets are coming from affiliate sales, which they link somewhere, talk about a great cast iron skillet, click on the link to the cast iron skillet, you buy it. The retailer gives a kickback to that publication. For books, there was only one affiliate program out there, Amazon's. And Amazon was given 4.5% of every book that was sold. So The New Yorker to Time Magazine to BuzzFeed, anytime you read about a book online, there would be a link to Amazon. That's creating like this funnel that's as wide as the internet. And all us book lovers, every time we want to read an author interview, every time we want to read a book review, we get pushed to Amazon to go buy that book. That in itself was like such a massive competitive advantage of Amazon's. And yet it was also helping sustain the discourse around books. Well, we need the discourse around books. It's not like publishers are advertising. Now I'm really going to rant, but publishers are advertising with Facebook. They're advertising with Amazon Web, Amazon Marketing Services, AMS. That's where all their marketing dollars are going. Their marketing dollars are not going to the New York Review of Books anymore. They're not going to newspaper book sections. They're not going to Time Magazine. That's not where publishers are spending their ad dollars. How are those publications going to support themselves? Just like you need independent local bookstores in their communities, you also need the media to be covering books and talking about books for book culture to be thriving. So if Amazon's the only place that's paying to support those publications through their affiliate program, that's a big problem too. And so that was the flip side of the coin. Like, first of all, independent bookstores need to be earning more revenue through online sales, and that's going to be even more important in 3 years than it is today. Second of all, publications need support for writing about books. And if Amazon's the only place that they can get it, that's a big problem. So creating Bookshop was supposed to fix those two problems. One, help bookstores that didn't have the resources to sell well online, and two, help publications that relied on affiliate revenue to have an alternative that supported independent local bookstores.
That's great. Yeah. And you've seen a lot of success. So you launched right before the pandemic. It's like this was perfect timing, unbeknownst to you. You started right at the end of January 2020. And since that time, you've made a ton of sales. You've converted a lot of those other sites to using your affiliate program now. So if you look back over the last year, what are some of the lessons and experiences that you've had? What are some of the things that you've learned in making that jump into book selling and diving feet first in and kind of hoping for the best? What are some things that you've learned that you're like, wow, I really wish that other people knew about this, or I wish that I had done this thing before I started this venture?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, I think the heartwarming thing that I learned is how much people are willing to rally around their local stores and how much they care, especially big readers. You know, books are something that are core to people's identities. They're not something that people casually engage with. I mean, some people are, but the customers that shop at local indies or care about local bookstores are people who really care deeply, and they're the kind of people who will go out of their way to support local stores. And that, you know, is something that I had a theory about before we launched, but I didn't know it for sure. And in fact, I was hustling all around town trying to get people to invest in Bookshop before it launched, and almost everybody said no. And they all said no because you can't beat Amazon on price, and you can't beat Amazon on efficiency. So you're dead in the water. And I was like, I really think that there are people out there who care about other things besides price. And so that was validated. And so that's something that I learned that I suspected and I learned was definitely true. We have, at this point, about 1.4 million customers. That's a lot more than I thought we would have in our first like 14 months. And in fact, I remember distinctly in January of 2020, waking up at 3 a.m. and for some reason my brain decided it was time to count how many customers we would need in order to not go out of business. And so I was like, all right, how many customers do we need based on an average, you know, buy purchase of 6 books a year? How many people? And, you know, I only had raised $750,000. So we didn't have much money and it was all going into building the software. So it was like almost no runway once we launched. And, like, well, we need about 195,000 to 250,000 customers to make this thing work, or else we're going to burn out really like within 8 months. And then at 3 a.m, like, how the hell are we going to get 250,000 customers? Like, that's impossible. How is that going to happen? And then I was like up for the rest of the night, just convinced that it was a complete folly and I had, was doomed to fail. But fortunately, that, you know, midnight anxiety didn't come true. There are a lot of people who are willing to support their local stores. And so that's great. That's something that I've learned is true. I think we can do a lot more, you know, and the goal of Bookshop is to take customers from Amazon, not to touch the customers that are already in the indie channel. And that's another thing I've learned, which is positive, is that for every customer that goes out of their way to buy from Indie right now, there are at least 20 people who are sitting around feeling kind of guilty, being like, oh, I know I shouldn't buy on Amazon, but it's just so simple, whatever, I got a Prime account, you know, and they just do it out of habit or laziness. And so I discovered that you can get a lot of those people off the fence if you just make it super easy and kind of just teach them that they can change their habits a little bit. It's just as easy. And make them feel good about themselves when they do it. So that's another thing is to kind of keep in mind as we try to change the world for the better, is that there are a lot of people who can be broken out of negative habits as long as you make it simple and clear for them.
Yeah, that's great. So I have a question for you that I don't know if you've even thought about it before, but we talk a lot here on the Book Smarts podcast about data and about metadata, product data around publishing. And there's a lot of value in that product data. Lots of studies have been done that show that better quality data a publisher pushes out, the more likely a book is to sell, the more units it sells. I'm curious if you've been looking at any of the product data that you're pulling in. I know you get a lot of that data or most of it from Ingram, but I'm wondering if you're looking at that and giving recommendations or have any recommendations for publishers as a bookseller about what will help you sell more books. What kind of data are you not seeing enough of? Do you want more book excerpts? Do you think the book descriptions are too small? What kinds of things are you seeing in the product data that you think, well, if publishers could do these things, then that would help me sell more of their books?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think there's, for me personally, I had to spend about 2 days kind of building a hierarchy of BISAC codes that would translate well to customer preferences. For example, I want to create a system where a customer can get a normal amount of options to check, like, what kind of books am I interested in? And so you got categories like fiction that might have, 200 different possibilities. And the roll up, if you just choose the first level of BISAC, will just be fiction. And then the next level is extremely complex. So this is more like for the world of BISACs. I wish that there was some top level categorization of 20 to 40 categories that would be very useful, that is more for the common folk who are just like, I like thrillers or I like literary fiction, you know? I think that for visual books and for children's books, and really for any book, the ability to look inside and browse inside is really important. But particularly for kids' books and visual books. And right now, in the US at least, there is no good solution for it. There's a number of places or tools which you can use to render ebooks. So if somebody wants to read the first 10 pages of a novel, you can do that pretty simply online. But if somebody wants to see the first 10 pages of a designed book, like a cookbook, and we want to be able to do that for a number of publishers, not just the publishers that are taking the trouble to put those spreads in their Onyx feeds, which are, I think, a minority, then it becomes much more complicated. And so we're probably going to have to build something ourselves. In the UK, they've got some more robust options where publishers have opted into programs and that allows them to embed content on the sites that allow readers to browse. But right now, it's really difficult to do that in the US. So we're going to have to build it ourselves, and then we're going to have to get publishers to feed us spreads and content samples and rich content that we can put in those previews. So I guess if I have one metadata wish for the future, is that it'll just be part of publishers' workflows, especially visual publishers, to figure out the best way to provide samples in their Onyx feeds, and so that the samples can be quickly and easily rendered. And I'm not talking about like big, heavy PDFs, but something that is image optimized and, won't cause a website to fail all of Google's page experience metrics and all of that. So that's where those are my two data wishes. And I'm not a total like data person. So these are really based on real world needs, but some kind of hierarchy that is more intuitive than just BISACs, that kind of can be layered on top of BISACs, is number one. And number two is rich content and spreads in Onyx feeds so that they can you can easily create a preview.
Yeah, those are actually probably some of the best suggestions that I've heard. And it's good to get a bookseller's perspective. You know, you're the one selling the book. You've got ideas for how you can sell more and how you can get more people interested in titles. And it makes a ton of sense to make sure that they can very easily find what they want to find, what they're looking for. So we talked a little bit about in the past about, you know, looking forward to the future and some reasons for hope. So if we take a snapshot of where we are right now, obviously Amazon is getting bigger and there's a lot of pressure for independent booksellers to start selling more and being more active. What do you think, if you look at the publishing industry as a whole, where do you think we're seeing some reasons for hope in the industry? And if you're looking 10 years down the road or something, what do you think we're going to see in the future to make us feel just a little bit better, hopefully, about the direction that we're headed down right now?
Yeah, well, I can't say I'm super optimistic. I mean, when I'm doing all this stuff, like a Literary Hub has a ton of readers. I don't have as much time as I wish I had for Literary Hub these days, but it's got 25 million readers a year. That's a lot of people who are engaging in content about books. Bookshop has a lot of customers, but it's added up. Is it enough? It's not nearly enough. It's like trying to hold together a crumbling building with like spider webs. So you need to have major players. You need to have like the Penguin Random Houses of the world to be supporting innovation, and you need to have the Ingrams of the world to be supporting local bookstores. And the signs of hope are that it seems like many of them are beginning to recognize the importance of doing more. They're getting slightly better terms. Signs of hope are like the Authors Guild will like be very gung-ho about having a conversation about the importance of supporting a diverse ecosystem and fighting back against Amazon. And I don't think that they were having those conversations 10 years ago. It's all has to happen soon. You know, it's a lot like global warming or something like that, where like you need your people are waking up. There are signs, positive signs, that people understand what the stakes are and that they're willing to do more to prevent a future that, you know, I don't know how dystopian. If you're a prime customer and you love Amazon, then maybe a world where Amazon sells 80% of the books in the US is not dystopian. But for most of us, I think it's not going to be a good outcome. So there are more people who are aware of that possibility or taking it seriously and are having the right kind of discussions. What I want to see more of, though, is just more industry support for innovation. I don't see a lot of it. You know, there it's, for example, really hard to buy an ebook from anybody besides Amazon and read it on a Kindle. Well, people who own Kindles prefer to read it on their Kindle. That's the way that they want to read. They might be interested in buying a book from an independent bookstore, an ebook from an independent bookstore. But if 70% of people who read ebooks or 80% of people who read ebooks are reading on a Kindle, that's what they want to read on. A lot of publishers don't allow you to buy a book from anywhere except for Amazon and read it on a Kindle. Also, I know that if I buy a ebook from some publishers, I can send it to my Kindle using my Kindle email address. But if I buy a book from ebook from Penguin Random House, I cannot send it to my Kindle using my Kindle email address. And I'm not saying that publishers should necessarily give up on DRM or whatever. I'm just saying that publishers should just be like, this is a problem. We want to foster innovation to solve the problem rather than just being like, that's the way things are. And that's just one example of many different ways that publishers can foster innovation. I mean, Bookshop, this is self-serving, and I admit it, but Bookshop is the most successful thing to happen for online bookselling benefiting the indies since IndieBound and IndieCommerce was launched by the ABA. So that was over 10 years ago. So we can say, like, this is the biggest thing that's happened in 10 years. Does that mean that we've had huge industry support? Not really. Not from publishers. They might add a Bookshop link along with their buy options, but not that much considering how much more we could do. We're just one example of innovation. I've also seen a lot of innovative companies go to business, or I've seen them get acquired by companies like Amazon and all that. So I know I'm supposed to be being optimistic, so what I'm going to rephrase that is that I feel like there's a chance that now that people are kind of seeing what's going to happen in the future, the publishers will be more backing of innovators than they have been before, and more willing to bring people in and work with their internal staff and external companies and try to figure out new ways of doing book selling and ways that support the industry rather than disrupt it. Because like one worrisome solution to Amazon's dominance that I think some publishers are looking at is like, oh, if Amazon's going to be so dominant, we have to create our own direct channel to customers. So rather than saying like, we need to work with more indies and strengthen that, or even saying we need to work more with Barnes & Noble and strengthen that relationship, and so Barnes & Noble doesn't go away, they're saying we need to find a way to sell directly to customers so that we circumvent Amazon that way. Well, that's not, you know, I don't think that that's the right kind of long-term solution. I don't think they're going to beat Amazon at direct to customer. And I think that that's just another, it's just another way that publishers are now competing with the indies that they need to rely on to kind of keep the ecosystem healthy. So it's good and bad. You know, there's a lot of reasons to be worried, but at least people being waking up to the importance of grappling with this issue and seeing some organizations really take it on and some publishers really care and indies having a bigger voice in the media and in the press, I think is a good sign and is a sign that there might be hope. But I also think that there's only hope if everybody really, really is much more activist than they've been before. Like, they can't just sit around and wait to see how things play out anymore. They have to actively brainstorm and actively engage in behavior change and encourage things that'll help prevent the, you know, a negative future from happening. So they need to, big publishers need to reinforce Barnes & Noble. They need to give much better terms and margins to indies. They need to work out their supply chains to make sure that indies have great stock of popular titles, all this stuff. I do think they should solve an ebook problem to allow indies to sell a greater market share of ebooks, audiobooks, that kind of thing. But I am seeing some openness to it and some recognition of the problem. So hopefully that will result in more solutions and more positive action.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so we're out of time. I appreciate you taking some time to chat with me, Andy. Where can people follow you online and follow the work that you're doing?
Well, you can follow bookshop.org on Twitter or Instagram. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm not on it too much, but my handle is AndyHunter777.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Book Smarts podcast. If you like what you've heard, please leave a review or rating in your podcast app. And also, please share this podcast with your colleagues. If you have topic suggestions or feedback about the show, please email me at joshua@firebrandtech.com. Thanks for joining us and for getting smarter about your books.